Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every day at this time. 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific, iHeartRadio app, foxsportsradio.com, SiriusXM 217, 203. And it's always moronic sometimes that we tell you that, but I don't tell you that for you, right? Like, you're listening to the show, or maybe you listen to the pod of the show. You're like, I already listened to the show. I don't need help listening to the show. No, but the idea is you can tell a friend. Like, yeah, that's not really how it works. Anyway, just wanted you to know there's a bunch of options you can listen to the show. Welcome in. Hope you're having a great day, as now we're out of summer and we're into the best time of year, fall, which brings us apples and honey. Happy New Year to my Jewish friends. And of course, it brings us not just apples, which are amazing in the Northeast and up in the Pacific Northwest as well, but it gives us playoff baseball. It'll give us a new NBA season soon. It gives us NFL football, college football. I'm sure the NHL is going to start at some point. I don't know, and I don't care, but that doesn't matter. Fall's where it's at. I will point out that, Ramos, are you a roller coaster guy?
I used to be. Like, I rode Colossus at Six Flags. I've ridden, yeah, you know, Space Mountain and all that stuff, but I've kind of tended to shy away as I've gotten into the older realm.
Because it makes you spin, or because of the fear I have children now and I don't want to die the very rare chance that you actually die?
No, it's kind of backed off a tad. There's definitely some sort of, I wouldn't say fear, but something.
I listen. Oh, okay. Ryan B is producing the show today. Ryan, are you a roller coaster guy?
I once was. I was super into roller coasters for a while, but then I kind of overdid it, and now they give me headaches.
What do you mean overdid it?
I used to have a pass to Six Flags, and I went pretty often during one summer and would go on, you know, 10, 12 rides a day, and by the end of the day, my head was just pounding, and now if I go on, like, one, my head starts pounding. So
it was the Macarena for you? That's what it was?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then people are like, no, now it's in my head, Gottlieb! Yeah, yes it is. Byer, are you a roller coaster guy? I've never.
No rides at all. Okay. Yeah, none.
So when I was a little kid, I was scared to death of roller coasters. I went on Montezuma's Revenge once when I was about 10 with my brother, and I closed my eyes and I hated it the whole time. And then when I was in high school, I went to Six Flags. We did like a ditch day, and there was a bunch of girls, and we walked over to Viper. And if you know about Viper, I think it was like the tallest drop at the time, whatever, at Six Flags. And I was kind of cured of my fear of roller coasters. So yesterday, it was the Jewish New Year. And again, this is not one of these things where I played hooky and didn't tell my boss. I told Scott Shapiro, who also Jewish, I'm sure I had yesterday off. I was like, hey, look, I'm going to take the day off and I'm going to take my dude to Six Flags Temple. As I told my mom, Temple Beth Six Flags Shalom, right? And she was like, what is that? I was like, we're going to ride roller coasters all day. So that's what we did. We did like 5.5 hours of hardcore roller coaster riding. It was awesome. But the point is, at least I was trying to bring point one, there's either you are or are not. And some people are not anymore. I totally understand that. I got off the first time I was on Batman, which is the first ride we rode. We did the very front row and the very back row on most every ride. There was nobody there. The first time I rode it, I remember spinning around going like, what am I doing? And in my head, I was thinking to myself, thank God I brought his friend, because maybe I'll sit out of a couple of these coaster rides if my stomach starts or I'm just not into it. I rode every one with him. I did. And we even did Superman, which goes 100 miles an hour straight up in the air, you know? And I loved it. And it was a great moment or a couple of moments with my son. But one of the things that that you talked about, Ramos, was fear. And I never forget, we got on Goliath, which has a 250-foot, 5-foot drop. And I was like, are you guys scared? They're like, no. I was like, it's okay to be scared. It's okay. Like, these are all kind of real life emotions. And, but can you overcome it if it's reasonable to, you know, this is not an unreasonable thing to sit on a roller coaster. But at 12 and 11 years old, they rode them all and they loved it. It was a great day. And if that's my capper to summer, it's a good capper to summer. So now we get to the business of fall. And I was thinking about this. We got the NFL season starting tomorrow. And there's so many different storylines. It's really fantastic. I mean, really, like, you go through each one of these games. And I was looking at these today, right? Starts with the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. Does anybody realize the Cowboys haven't beaten anybody good in 2 years? Go look. Show me the good team they've beaten over the last 2 years. When Dak was healthy, when Dak wasn't healthy, doesn't matter. And, of course, you got Tom Brady, who it feels like every year is in the Super Bowl. Don't believe me. Look at his ring fingers. He doesn't have ring fingers. He has ring hands. Cardinals-Titans. Cardinals, Steve Keim thinks they're a playoff. So we're definitely a playoff team. Titans are. They've been knocking on the door. Can you win big with their style in the playoffs? Jaguars-Texans. Trevor Lawrence. Vikings-Bengals. Is Joe Burrow really back? Chargers-Washington football team. I think Chargers are one of the top five most talented teams in the NFL. Jets-Panthers. Sam Darnold against his old team. Eagles-Falcons. Well, they stuck with Matt Ryan because they had to. Can they actually turn this thing around? And I'm not a buyer into Jalen Hurts, but maybe the Eagles are. Bills-Steelers. Are the Bills the favorites in the AFC because they actually have a defense to go with their offense? And Steelers, I'll get to Big Ben in a second. Seahawks-Colts. The rebirth of Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson. We know he'll be running around in the offensive backfield at the end of the game trying to make a play. It feels like that one's written in stone. I mean, go through every game. Patriots, Dolphins, Tua and Mac Jones, Packers, Saints, Jameis and Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to what he said. Broncos, Giants. You know, Teddy Bridgewater gets another shot. And Danny Dimes, can he actually play and not turn it over? Bears, Rams, lot to dig into there. Ravens, Raiders. I mean, like, there's not a game that doesn't have a great storyline, not just for the game, but for the entirety of the year. But let me start with what I think is really important. It's that context does, in fact, matter. Right? It does matter. The Cowboys are going to be playing without Zach Martin, right? Who's out because of COVID protocols. And Ndamukong Suh just came back into the Buccaneers locker room after going through his own COVID protocols. The Cowboys, like I said, they ain't going to be a good team in 2 years. But they do have a fantastic, talented offense. And defensively, you bring in Dan Quinn, who, though he failed as a head coach for the most part with the Falcons, at least there's intricate knowledge of the Buccaneers and what they're trying to do because he was in Atlanta before this. But I was watching the UCLA domination of LSU, and it did feel like domination. And I saw the rankings come out where UCLA is ranked 16th in the country. And some people are freaking out, like, how can you? They're 2-0. They beat LSU. If they were ranked in the preseason, they would have been a top 10, maybe a top 5 team based upon what they've done, and that might be fair. But the truth is that we have to take context into every game. That every game is different than the entirety of the season. Right? And we all have jobs because we cover the NFL. We talk about sports and we talk about NBA, we talk about sports that matter, but the truth is, what drives the boat? NFL, fantasy, gambling, that's it, right? So we're supposed to sit here and tell you some season preview, and you're going to look, just take the UCLA-LSU game as a perfect embodiment of why the context of one game does not necessarily a season make. UCLA was better than LSU on Saturday. does that mean UCLA is forever going to be better than LSU throughout the year? Or any team that LSU beats in the SEC, UCLA is better than? The answer is no. UCLA had played a game, LSU had not. Everyone knows you improve most between games one and games two. Right? When you haven't played a game in front of a live crowd in 2 years, really, if you're UCLA, you know, they're not in school. All they got to do is practice, and they got a chance to play a game, really a truly a scrimmage against Hawaii. They play in front of a packed house where they're an underdog at home. That, like, how often does that happen? How is it? And you got LSU, who's coming from, not coming from campus because they had the hurricane and they hadn't played a game and they weren't great last year. And they just kind of got overwhelmed by a team that felt like they were a cohesive team and knew what they wanted to do. That's the same here with almost every game, right? We're going to have COVID protocols hold players out like Zach Martin. We had the Buccaneers, who are loaded, celebrating their Super Bowl championship. You got Tom Brady, who's coming back for his second year with the Buccaneers. Feels like he'll be even more integrated into what they want to do. If regardless of what happens in the game, we have to take into context that the Buccaneers bring back everybody from last year, a ton of consistency. The Cowboys don't have arguably their best offensive lineman or second best offensive lineman. And they have a defense which is completely new in terms of style and some new positional pieces. That does not mean that the Cowboys, if they lose, are forever better than the Buccaneers, or if the Cowboys win, that they're forever better than either or forever worse than the Buccaneers or better than the Buccaneers. Context always matters. Every game is a story unto itself. And the mistake that we make as fans, as pundits, as big mouths, that's what I am, I'm a big mouth, is we take what we saw at an earlier point in the season or even last week, and we always try to apply it to this week. Right? I know that you can listen to radio shows and they're like tout services, like, well, the Cowboys on Thursday nights against the spread are like, how did that play no factor? Mike McCarthy's been there 1 year. Dak Prescott was hurt half of last year. The defense is completely new. All of this stuff is different than any previous year. Those aren't trends. Isn't that a trend? Those are just statistics, which if you'd like to take them to meaning I'm going to give you my money, like, okay. If you go with the trends, LSU kicks the crap out of UCLA last night or Saturday night. If you go with the trends, the Buccaneers dominate the Cowboys because the Cowboys haven't beaten anybody good in 2 years. But every game is a story unto itself. Context does, in fact, matter. And we even using last year when we didn't have fans in the stands for most games makes it very, very different than what you're going to see this year. I was just thinking about that. I've been thinking about that for days, sitting here trying to pick games, trying to figure out what's what. And then I'm trying to get your picks ready for tomorrow. I love the Chargers. Everybody knows I'm a Charger guy, but part of the reason the Chargers always get off to a bad start is they always have injuries in training camp. Derwin James the past 2 years. Joey Bosa held out some his first year. Offensive line issues over the last 3 years. So you can use those trends, but the context tells you it's a totally different thing.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
How great was last weekend watching all those college games? How amazing is it going to be tomorrow night when you're sitting down and you're like, ha, Cowboys, Buccaneers? The Buccaneers being champions is weird. Like, let's just be honest, it's weird. But, okay, Tom Brady winning another championship, that's kind of feels very normal. Football is here. Nothing is more synonymous with football than, well, a couple of things, right? The hype of the Cowboys, that's a yearly. The thought that Tom Brady can go to another Super Bowl, that's okay. The desire and expectation for Aaron Rodgers to finally get to a second Super Bowl. Russell Wilson I'm going to predict. I don't even know how that game is going to play out, but I know how the game is going to play out. Russell Wilson had the ball scrambling around, trying to score a touchdown at the end of the game against the Colts, or maybe a field goal. Right? Sunrise in the east and sets in the west, and Ben Roethlisberger is full of it. He just is, you know? You know, how many years has Ben Roethlisberger like, well, you know, maybe I'll hang him up. I'm so injured. Big Ben's always a so injured guy. And now Big Ben doing the reason I took less money was because of TJ Watt. It's just, again, Ben Roethlisberger is, I believe he'll be a Hall of Famer, right? If we tell the story accurately, the first Super Bowl he won, Antoine Randall actually threw the best pass. But the first Super Bowl he won, he's more facilitator. Second Super Bowl he won, he was really good. Right? He found Santonio Holmes, right, in the back of the end zone after Kurt Warner had the Cardinals take the lead. So he's got two Super Bowls. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's an all-time great. But he got hurt 2 years ago and missed the year with like Tommy John surgery. And last year, he wasn't very good. And had his contract not been one where they could get out of it, he wouldn't be playing this year. But they owed him a bunch of money, and the only way to have him back was to take less money. Like, the only way. So meanwhile, Big Ben, in an effort to tout T.J. Watt as one of the best players in football, take a listen to what he said.
I think T.J. should get whatever the heck he wants. He's arguably the best football player in the game right now, not just on defense, just in general. You know, I've been through a few negotiations here with contracts. One of the reasons I took less money was for guys like him to get paid, and he needs to get paid. He deserves every penny that he wants and asks for. You know, TJ Watt is that guy that should get whatever he wants.
Now, TJ Watt and what he's and the contract dispute or negotiation that he's in is no different than pretty much any Steeler. Like, this is actually, Steeler fans are like, yeah, you can set your watch to it. The team drafts really well, gets a player, he achieves, he wants a big contract, and oftentimes they move on from him. All right? But TJ does all the little things, doesn't skip practice, doesn't even do the hold-in thing where I'm going to show up but not work out. All right? But the Big Ben, like, that's why I took less money to free up cap space. Like, you didn't have a choice, dude. I just, those little lines are the fake self, the fake martyrdom. And that's the only way I can try. The fake martyrdom of, yeah, you know, this is why I took less money for TJ Watt. Yeah, I'm sure, Ben. Absolutely. You're like, well, I could make everything that I'm owed, but you know what? I'm going to take less for TJ Watt. That is not Ben Roethlisberger. There'll be 3 or 4 or 5 times a year, he'll say something odd at a press conference in which he tries to sound like a dude of the people, a guy who just one of the guys. But the truth is that when you've done it as long as Ben's done it, we've seen like this is not. And I don't think he's a bad guy, but like, this is why I took less money. Yeah, this is it for other guys. No, you sucked last year, and they didn't really want you back, and there are a bunch of quarterbacks on the market, and they basically told you as such, like, you dude, you got to take a massive haircut. If you do, we'll bring you back. We'll reconfigure your deal. We'll spread that money around. But it wasn't like a voluntary thing. No, guys, I don't want top dollar. Give me less so TJ can get money. Give me less. That's not even how it works. That's the part about it. Like, could they slide some into this year's salary cap? Yeah, but they're much more likely to put it on next year when everyone expects the salary cap to dramatically increase. I don't know. Like, I do feel like we can set our watch to the Aaron Rodgers would be surly. Ben Roethlisberger will be fake humble, right? And Tom Brady will end up in the Super Bowl. That's what Russell Wilson will be running around in a backfield. we can set our watch. We've seen these guys. It's not like we don't have much of a sample size. Go and look at Ben Roethlisberger's career, and this is just kind of who he is. Now, he's a much better version of himself than he used to be back before what happened in Georgia and back before Lake Tahoe and before he went over the handlebars of his motorcycle. And I'm not sitting here telling you that he's like a horrible guy. He's not. I'm not telling you he's not a great football player. He was. He's not a great football player now. And the only reason they cut his salary was they're paying him the most they can pay him, even though his performances waned dramatically, over the past couple of years. That is Ben Roethlisberger 101. And he does this all the time. The fake humble stuff, the fake generosity stuff, like, just, yeah, you could have said, and even the anything he wants. I think he should get anything he wants. You know? No, you don't. No one thinks the guy should get anything. That's just a ridiculous statement. And I understand that. I'm not taking it literally. I'm taking it as Big Ben. And TJ is widely considered a top 10 player in the NFL. But Ben knows what he's doing. I'm sure he wants TJ to make it hurt, because he's mad they took back some of his money. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't, paid for by NHTSA.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Marshall Faulk will join us in a second. You can check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl conference division and awards odds, plus win totals for each team, week one lines, and a plethora of fun props on every game. He should have won the Heisman Trophy when he was at San Diego State. He is a Hall of Famer. He did win a Super Bowl. He's Marshall Faulk. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know. It feels, maybe it was because we had such a good weekend of college football. And I'm sure it's because we didn't have fans in the stands for most of the games last year. Feels like there's a lot of buildup to Thursday and Sunday. What are your thoughts on the buildup to this NFL season, which kicks off in about 27 hours?
Oh, yeah, man. Looking forward to it. There's a lot of buildup around this season, obviously. And no doubt, Doug, we get fans back in the stadium. You know, that's going to be electric, having that aspect of the game back. Whoever thought that we'd play an NFL season without fans, but who'd ever thought a pandemic would do what it did to us? But anyways, this game Thursday night, it's huge. You literally have Tom Brady, who's carrying the league right now. The guy is carrying the league, an opportunity. And I think this puts him in, he's already in that rare air, but it puts him in, you know, even more rare air when you think about if he takes another team back-to-back, it's crazy to fathom it, but that's the opportunity that he has, and then the whole state of Texas rests on that. And when you think about it, people forget, like, it wasn't long ago that Dallas didn't want to pay Dak his money, but now it all rests on Dak. So we have that, start of the season, Thursday night kickoff, just looking forward to what we have, man. Happy football is back.
Okay, so 1999, people forget, like, when you started your careers with the Colts, right? So it's your first year with the Rams, and then Kurt comes in, obviously because of injury, and you guys win a Super Bowl. The next year, 2000, right? You guys had kind of turned the entire league upside down with the greatest show on turf. What do you remember about the next year, like kicking off the start? And by the way, even though you guys didn't win the Super Bowl the next year, I believe you were the MVP the next year. But what was it like to try and come back and win it again?
it's challenging. And the hardest part is for that head coach to get every player, the new ones and the old ones, who want it, because, you know, you have some new guys, to get them to refocus and go out and remember that they have to earn it again. And some guys, if you've never won and you've never been the reason why teams win, it's easy to lose focus and think about what last year was like and how it happened. And that's the struggle. That's literally the struggle. You know, when coaches can get guys to buy in and get back, that's why I tell people what dynasties have done who won Super Bowls is one thing. But what the Buffalo Bills did, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, four straight Super Bowls, that was crazy. Right, like it's the greatest dynasty that nobody talks about is they went to four straight Super Bowls, and who knows what happens if Norwood makes the kick? That was the first year, right? Like, could be a completely different narrative if he makes the kick.
Yeah, it's just crazy there. You know, we put so much on winning the Super Bowl, but you know, and we talk about getting back, and just look at how many teams get back after they lose. Unbelievable.
What? So now with you guys, if I remember correctly, a lot of it was the defense, right? But what changed? What changed from the year where you guys just thoroughly whooped up on the league to the second year, which again you had a great year, but the team was 10-6, and then you lost to the Saints in the playoffs.
Yeah, we lost our identity a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Our identity on defense. People thought just because we put up points that our defense wasn't what it was, but defense was pretty darn good. You know, we had top 10 defense. London Fletcher, you know, wasn't there. We were missing parts. We were just missing key parts that wasn't there. And so, you know, when you miss those key parts and you don't replace them, and then Kurt, I think he broke his thumb.
Yeah.
So he missed some games. But it was good because Trent came in and we won some games. And then I got banged up a little bit. You got to be healthy. Things got to go right. And it didn't. It did not for us. You know, it did not go right for us.
Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame running back, joining us for the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's talk. Zeke Elliott, right? A couple years ago, it felt like they could, when he got suspended, their season went to pot, right? But he hadn't really been the same. He hadn't been the same dominant guy. Now, he's different from you and how you played, but what are your thoughts on Zeke and what he needs to do to get back to the level of dominance of a couple years ago?
He did it, and I'm going to put it out there. The guy that you see this season is the Zeke that you've always seen. I think last year, COVID and all of that, it got a lot of people. I mean, professional athletes who have the best mindset ever. It took a toll on a lot of people. And the rededication, he's lean. I mean, he looks really good, man. I look forward to what Zeke is going to do this season. And I think last season, you know, it was, okay, play yourself into where you need to be and be ready down the stretch. And when they lost Dak, and then they lost Zach Martin, and they lost Tyron, and all of a sudden you have a subpar offensive line out there, you getting hit in the backfield, and you're the number one draft on everybody's fantasy team, it's humbling. It's humbling. And I just can't wait to see. I can't wait to see the guy out there eating this Thursday.
No, it's great. The offensive line part is really interesting because, I mean, obviously you had Orlando Pace over on the left side. You guys had a great one. And I do wonder, though, if the Cowboys, a little of our judgment is based upon their line of like 3 years ago. Like the line isn't the same as it was 3 years ago, right?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And here's the thing, Doug. It can't be. Think about when they had a young Dak and they had a young Zeke. Their money was in their offensive line.
Yeah.
And now think about what Zeke's making. Think about what Dak's making. Think about what Cooper's making. The money's not in the offensive line.
No, the running, the money's in the skill positions, and you know, yeah. and sprinkle all over, and you know, you do on some level get what you pay for.
This is it. So now, you know, you have to learn how to be effective with a offensive line that plays well together, not the best offensive line that's playing in the league. And so that's what he's ready to show people.
Marshall, great catching up with you, man. Love talking football, both in person and when you join us. Our thanks to Bet Online for updated Super Bowl, conference, division, and awards, odds, wins, totals, plus each team, week one lines, and a plethora of fun props on every game. That's Bet Online. Great stuff, Marshall. Thanks for joining us.